Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 23, Text 10 and 11. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Desha Kala Pratagravyam Mantra Tatra Vito. Devataya Jamanascha Kratordamasyanmaya Kambama Paramam Sakshat Bhagavantam Madoksajam Manushya Dristya Duspagya Martyamano Manenere. Although the ingredients of sacrificial performance, the place, time, particular paraphernalia, mantras, rituals, priests, fires, demigods, perform an offering, and the yet is unseen beneficial results, are all simply aspects of his opulence. The Brahmin saw Lord Krishna as an ordinary human being because of their perverted intelligence. They fail to recognize that he is the supreme absolute truth, the directly manifest personality of Godhead, whom the material senses cannot ordinarily perceive. Thus, bewildered by their false identification with the mortal body, they did not show him proper respect. Om Jnana Timarandasya Ganandana Salakaya Praksurun Mulatam Yena Tasmai Svi Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tati Swapradantikam Adadana Stanam Dante Idam Yache Puna Puna Shimad Rupa Padam Bodha Dulisham Janma Janmani Paragya Yudhati Risham Piyatnai Apayama Manabhisamantam Kripambhirya Paraduka Duki Sanatanastam Prabhamastriyami Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyacha Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnadebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasude Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from Govardhan. I'm in Govardhan now. Technical glitch a source of suffering for all of us, hopefully? And why? Because it's going against our desires and will. But somehow there must be some purpose for it. Perhaps to increase our desire of hearing without any in one sense I was expecting it because I think we've done this about 8-9 times from India and we've had practically no problems at all, so somehow, and we can all meditate, why was I expecting that sometime or other it would have to be a problem? Because I was expecting in one way or another, somehow or other, it seems when things go too good, we tend to think that we're the controllers. And we lose the sense that the good that is happening to us is only the will of Krishna. And it's not actually our own power and our own control. So now, Krishna, once again, from Govardhan. The same is coming from here. He's once again humbling us and showing us that we're not the controller. And how do we know we're not the controller? Because we can't fulfill our desires. If we were the controller, then whatever desire we would have would be fulfilled without any obstacle or difficulty. So because we're not the controllers, therefore the world doesn't move according to our desires. And I guess this is one frustrating and painful example, but not the worst of them. So we will all together try to overcome. I myself here am trying to figure out what the class should be today, despite this. But maybe I can at least share to you, at least at the beginning. I really wanted to get into this kata today, and perhaps Krishna will give me the strength to overcome this obstacle. But I'm in Govardhan now. I was in Vrindavan because the brahmacharis from the 22nd Avenue Temple visited here, and I took them on parikram. And many of you have gone with me, and I did it differently, because usually I go up to the main temples of Nandagram and Barsana, and we know in Barsana how, and in Nandagram, how the local pandits or guides, they kind of harass you. I thought this time, let me go out to places in the forest, and we'll just sit undisturbed with Krishna Katha. So I went to one place, you know, Prem Sarovara, very sublime place where Radha and Krishna met. And then I went to Ter Kadamba, which is between Nandagram and Jowett. And it's right in the middle of the path where Radharani would come every morning, actually speaking exactly at this time in Vrindavan. And she would go and walk to Nandagram to cook for Krishna. And the middle place was naturally a place of many pastimes, because Krishna would go from Nandagram and he would tend the cows in that area. So he would have exchanges with Radharani. And he would also go there. Kadamba means the beautiful trees of Vrindavan that are white in color, which remind Krishna of Radharani, because they have her color, and the yellow flowers have her color and fragrance. In fact, this is the winter season in Vrindavan, and you'll see acres and acres of fields of mustard seed, which exactly corresponds to the color of Srimati Radharani. So we went to this place, Ter Kadamba, and the reason I went to this place is because it was the Bhajan Sabha of Sri Rupa Goswami. And it was there that Sri Rupa Goswami wrote Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Ujvala Nilamani, Lalita Madhava, Vidugdha Madhava, Upadesh Amrita. And we sat there, and of course, naturally, we sung first the song to Rupa Goswami, which I'll just say the first line. And we're begging for Rupa Goswami's mercy that something here is communicated despite the obstacles. But obstacles in Braj actually are meant to help us actually come closer to the lotus feet of C.C. Radha and Krishna, just like when Radha and Krishna meet here in Govardhan. I'm looking out right now on the beautiful hill of Govardhan. And when Radha and Krishna meet, and sometimes they have to separate because maybe the elder cowherd men are coming back by also with their cows. So when they run away, then sometimes what happens is Krishna will step on a thorn. In fact, I walked around Govardhan the other day, and a big thorn came in my foot. So they step on a thorn. He stepped on a thorn, and he gets it looks like an obstacle, but he gets to pull it down. And when he gets to pull it down, he somehow can stop and look at Srimati Radharani once more. So Rupa Goswami is such a nice and important place, because Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam, Tapitam Yena Bhutale, Shayam Rupa Kadamayam, Tadati Swapanapya. Rupa Goswami knew the mind of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And to know someone's mind, until you know someone's mind, by the intimacy of relationship you have, if you don't have an intimacy of relationship with someone, you can't know their mind. So to actually serve someone, you first have to give yourself fully to them, gain their confidence, and win their heart so that you can know their heart and serve their heart. There's I explained this before, one very nice renounced lady here in Vrindavan named Mother Srimati. Those of you who have gone with me to Mayapur, she would take us to Akshatradham, the place of Lord Nityananda. And as you remember, during the night, we would all take rest there in the little huts or the simple things, and she would just stay up all night chanting Hare Krishna. So one day, I saw her in Vrindavan. She was meditating on the deities, and I met her afterwards. And we were talking, and she shared her realization. This is from Bhaktivinod Thakur. That by Dham Seva, service of the holy name, you get Nam Seva, service of the holy of the holy name. And by service of the holy name, you get Kam Seva. She said, this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Kam Seva, what does Kam Seva mean? It means by the mercy of the holy name that Krishna will reveal his wants and desires to you. And that's why it's, and therefore we can serve the desire. And that's why it's so fortunate for us to be connected to Srila Prabhupada, because of the level and intimacy of his service, he carries the desire of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. And his mission itself is a manifestation of the desire of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. And therefore, through the parampara and through those intimate devotees, by serving them in Guru Parampara, they will reveal to us in our heart the intimate desires of the residents of Vrindavan. So Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam, Skapitam Yena Bhutale, Shayam Rupa Kadama. He understood the inner mind of Lord Chaitanya. And because he understood the inner mind of Lord Chaitanya, he was therefore granted the most intimate service to actually carry on the inner mood of our whole line of teachings from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore, when the devotees would see his poetry and see the depth of his realizations, especially Sarup Damodar Goswami, who was one of the most confidential associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they would see his poetry, they would say, when they saw his realization, they said, he must have gained the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that is actually the test of mercy, the realizations you have, because those are the jewels, those are the gifts of the Guru Parampara. Actually, I feel very fortunate here also, Shivaram Swami, came yesterday, and he's here for 10 days at Govardhan, and he actually has the beautiful Radha Krishna deity of Sarup Damodar Goswami. This is a fact. It's actually in Shastra, and where he got him, he is actually worshiping the deities. Now, talking about obstacles today, I can't even see the book because this is also strange, but the electricity went off also. But this is, I haven't started yet, but this is also Purnima here. So that may be something else here also because there's so many thousands of people here. I do want to get to the story a bit when the lights go on, and they should go back on. But one other thing, and this is not my normal class. My normal class, I go through the verses. So So, and this story is so important. The Brahmin's wives bless, and it's very important for us to understand the importance itself to hear about Krishna's pastimes in the appropriate way and from the proper person. We're hearing through the purport of Srila Prabhupada, who is a fully realized soul and empowered to actually communicate the highest truth to the people with the least qualification to understand it. That's called realization. When Prabhupada passed from this world, and his ceremony was held in Vrindavan, and I went to that 10 days after. The system in a cultured assembly is, even symbolically, the senior most person is on it, and he's made the presiding spiritual head of the function. So when Prabhupada was function was there, one of his godbrothers was made the chief of the assembly. That's just the protocol that you have to follow. But interesting enough, this godbrother had gone to the West in Europe before Prabhupada. And until Prabhupada, he was renowned for this for his going to the West. But obviously, when Prabhupada went to the West, he was so much overshadowed by Prabhupada. And due to that, somehow or other, unfortunately, he became a little envious of Prabhupada. So I was sitting in the assembly.
Lakshman Vijayavarana.
Haribo, Amritananda, are we still on? People can hear me?
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, somehow or other. This is a tough one for me, so I'm just trying to plow my way through it.
Maharaj, you come across clearly.
Amritananda, we're okay?
Yes, Maharaj, you're clear, very clear.
Okay. So we were sitting in the assembly, and this man got up to supposedly glorify Prabhupada, and then he said, I could have done what your Guru Maharaj has done, but I didn't have the mentality to preach to the hippies. So when I actually heard that, in one sense, he was actually trying to actually put Prabhupada down. But I remember when I was there, I felt I was protected by Goddess Saraswati, who changed, who gave a reinterpretation, just like when Sishupal cursed Krishna. When Sishupal cursed Krishna, he called him the lowest among men. We described in the other class that Sishupal had spontaneous hatred of Krishna because even before he could speak full sentences, he was cursing Krishna, which means he didn't even have to be trained. It all came from his heart. So he was cursing Krishna. And he called Krishna the lowest among men. But the goddess Saraswati broke up the sandhi, the joint, you can break up Sanskrit words in different ways, and made it say that person who makes every other person go down. Krishna is that person, not the lowest of men, but that person who makes everybody else go down. So when I heard he didn't have the mentality to preach to the hippies, I was saying what actually was happening, instead of criticizing Prabhupada, what he was saying is that he didn't actually have the realization. What is the mentality to preach to the hippies? It's such depth of understanding of a subject matter that you can take the highest subject matter and reform it, reconstruct by your realization the form in which you have received it. Perhaps Prabhupada received that high subject matter from Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, you know, in a different form, because Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was preaching to people of a higher culture who had such a cultural frame of reference to understand perhaps higher subject matters. And so what was that meant? It's realization. And realization allows you to change
the form of a subject without losing its meaning. And if you don't have realization, one of two things happen. Either you keep the message in the same form you heard it, even though it's not a relevant form to communicate that message to your new audience, or you change the form and lose the essence of that message. But what Prabhupada could do by his realization is that he could communicate, take that highest message, and he had the mentality or realizations to actually make that message relevant to the hippies who had no cultural reference or standard of behavior actually to understand these things. So we're somehow at the very to hear this message from Prabhupada. Now, Amritananda? Haribo? Amritananda?
Yes, Maharaj. I'm sorry, it takes me a little while because I've muted my phone.
What I'm trying to figure out now my light went on, the static has gone down, everyone can hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, it took the whole class for me to try to plow through that, and I like to have a more consistent message. But let me tell you why it's so important to hear these stories, the wives of the Brahmins bless. And their whole qualification to see Krishna, and I'm skipping ahead, why it's so important to hear Krishna Katha, their whole qualification to hear Krishna, I mean, they actually had paramour love for Krishna. They had the deepest, these verses that are coming up, they actually, even in the Sanskrit and the verses, they actually parallel the verses when the gopis hear the flute and they're trying to go to see Krishna. It actually parallels that. So, look what happens, and what's going to be contrasted is spiritual intelligence to material intelligence. Because these Brahmins, they're very, very learned in Vedic Brahmavadina, in Vedic injunctions. They're very, very, very learned. But because of petty desires and a crooked heart and a lack of humility, even though they were so versed in these Vedic injunctions, they didn't understand the purpose of those Vedic injunctions. And although these Brahmins' wives were very, very simple, they actually weren't even clean because they had children. And any mother that's on the phone knows that when you have children, you cannot be clean. They weren't clean. They weren't learned. But their intelligence was completely reposed in Krishna by the love and devotion in their heart. And actually, love and devotion in the heart for God and for others in relationship to God is the highest sense of intelligence. And this is actually the whole secret between spontaneous devotional service or Rav Marg that Prabhupada actually tried to inculcate in us by trying to make us worship Krishna out of spontaneous love for Krishna and spontaneous love for his representatives. Those who knew Prabhupada knew how expert he was in drawing out the spontaneous spirit of affection for the devotees' hearts, because he understood that that spontaneous spirit of affection for Krishna will actually, with the proper sambandhigyan and proper understanding, but it will draw out the highest level of spiritual intelligence. And I thought of an example of this. It's just like when a mother has a child. the intelligence to take care of that child will come more from the nurturing spirit in her heart, her spontaneous liking and attraction for her child. It'll come more from that than from any book she'll read. We know that there are PhDs that have children, but they're not actually nurturing in heart. So when they before they have their children, but they have so many other things to do. I mean, their careers and so many other things. I'm not saying every PhD is it, but there is a PhD like this. But let's say a modern person like this, and they, before the child, they'll just study books. But they have such a lifestyle that that it's very, very hard for them to actually surrender to that particular service. And there may be a village person with a deep, a nurturing, motherly spirit, and that deep, nurturing, motherly spirit will actually give them the intelligence. And therefore, it says, when one actually has affection for Krishna that's matured, it means, the example is given, one could run blindly towards the goal without falling and without deviation. There's actually a verse like this. I'm studying it now in the Bhakti Sandarbha. Blind means they're ignorant of the Vedas. But when they have affection, without falling, they can run. Because the desire and love in the heart will inspire the intelligence to find out what is the right way in which I should serve. And I'm not denying that we need discriminatory knowledge or sambandha gyan, but I'm saying, what is the opulence and potency of a loving devotional heart? And this particular pastime, I wanted to go verse by verse, but I'm inspired in this way now because of the obstacles we had to overcome to get here. Is this particular story exemplifies that so much. The Brahmins, I was thinking of an example of this, how knowledge without purpose cannot be utilized properly. Or you have a particular type of knowledge that's just facts, but it's not real wisdom or knowledge of life. Anyway, maybe when I grew up, there's a term in French. Oh no, not French. It's English but mixed with French, called idiot savant. So it's a contradiction, because idiot means someone who doesn't have any intelligence, and savant means one who is very intelligent. So it refers to a person who has genius, but he doesn't have wisdom. He has facts, but he doesn't have the insight to use those facts in a practical way to actually advance his life. And when I heard this term first, I was actually thinking when I grew up in Brooklyn, just about that time there was a young boy in high school, and he became the greatest chess player that ever lived. It's a fact. His name was Bobby Fischer. He went to high school in Brooklyn about the time I went to high school. He was the greatest chess player that ever lived. And we remember, and you know, it's not such a prominent sport in America, but at the time, and he was a young man, the Russians had never lost the championship. And it was the time of the Cold War. And here was this young boy from Brooklyn who was going to reach the championship against this Boris Spassky, you know, these brilliant Russian chess players. And it was a fact that people stopped everything to watch it on TV. But the point I was making, this guy had so much brilliance, but he was an idiot savant. He had that knowledge, but he couldn't tie his shoes. He didn't even have a practical perception of reality. So simply having a lot of facts in your head, but not knowing, not having the real, not being able to put them in the proper context of their utility. That's the Brahmins. And therefore, Prabhupada always gave us the brilliant example. You can have many, many zeros. It's zero. But if you put a one before it, it's a million, it's a billion, it's a trillion. The one before that knowledge is the understanding of the absolute reality, so that you can contextualize that particular knowledge for the ultimate purpose in which it is meant to be used. And that's what Prabhupada did to us. He tried to add the one. He tried to add the one Krishna, which is the absolute reality, which can make valuable any understanding or knowledge that we had. And because Prabhupada knew Krishna, he could utilize and see the value of so many different subjects. But in relationship to its ultimate cause, and therefore Prabhupada would also quote Christ, what profit a man get if he gains the whole world or loses his internal soul? So this is the part that we're at now, and if you devotees will excuse me, because we started late, you always have the option to go to sleep because it's late, and I we're doing this at 9 o'clock, so for most of you get free phone calls on the cell phone. But the particular section we're up right now is after the cowherd boys were hungry. But really, they would so love Krishna in such a wonderful way, and they were just focused on Krishna's desire, that they thought, well, maybe Krishna's hungry. But if we ask them, Krishna is such an exalted personality, are you hungry? Then Krishna may say, oh, no. Just like if you go to someone's house and someone says, hey, would you like some food? Are you hungry? I'll cook you a meal. A cultured person will say, no, a cultured person doesn't like to put forward his own desires. So if someone comes to your house, you say, and he's cultured, you don't say to that person, here, would you like something to eat? You say, Marj, we're making something for you. The person will say, no, no, no. I always think of Pradyumna, our god brother, and he's actually he's got some from his past life, something. He's always hungry. But you always have to force him to eat. And a lot of times he hasn't eaten in several days. And after you force him, he eats a lot. So it's just such nice culture. No one likes to put forth. This is the spiritual culture. It's just antithetical to one to put forward his own desires. So someone comes, would you like to eat? Oh, no, no, I'm okay. I have it. No, please don't bother. No, 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 we insist. Please eat. No, sit down. Please eat. So they knew that Krishna would not say. So they said, we're so hungry, Krishna, and you're the chastiser of the wicked, which means the greatest demon is hunger, and you could conquer that. So those of you with me, you know that this was the story. So Krishna wanting to please his devotees, these Brahmins' wives. And how did they enter the heart of Krishna? Why was Krishna wanting to please them and wanting to make all arrangements to please them? Because they were eager to see Krishna, because they became enchanted by hearing descriptions of him. They were the wives of the Brahmins, and when the yogis would come, I mentioned this before, they have the yogis, they would assist their husbands, so they would be responsible for purchasing the ingredients. So when the gopis and the residents of Vrindavan heard that there was a big yajna, they would all go with their wares. But what does a gopi mean? What does a gopi mean? What does a brijbasi mean? A brijbasi means they love Krishna. And the symptom of love for someone is you cannot stop talking about them. I remember sitting in the garden in Dallas where Prabhupada was hearing Krishna book, and there was a point where the gopis were criticizing Krishna. And Prabhupada was laughing because he was saying, even though they're criticizing Krishna, they love Krishna so much, they can't stop speaking about him. And Prabhupada was actually laughing and appreciating so much. They love Krishna so much that they couldn't stop speaking about them. In happiness and distress, Aslishya Vapadaratam Panastumam Adarshanam Mamahatam. You may make me brokenhearted by your embrace. You may crush me by your embrace. You may be brokenhearted by being absent before me. But I am your worshipful, you are my worshipful Lord, birth after birth. They have prema to the highest degree. And the symptom of prema is that it never ends, even if there is cause. It never ends, even if there's cause. So when the gopis came with their wares, what were they doing? They were singing bhajans. They were talking about Krishna. That's why I felt fortunate now to get the association of Shivaram Swami. And yesterday, a great soul, Parthasarathi, he actually comes every evening from his place. He has a place in Govardhan, our very nice godbrother. He comes here for a couple of weeks a year. And he comes. And when you're in his presence, what is his presence? He can't stop talking about Krishna. He told me so many jewels and nice things about Krishna. So in the association of the real devotees, they're just doing kirtan, and they're talking about Krishna. And how are they doing kirtan, and how are they talking about Krishna? With sincerity. It means they want to please Krishna. And that priti or love is mixed with their songs. And when you hear the songs, when you hear Prabhupada chanting, when you hear him speaking, it's mixed with his priti, his love. And last class we gave that definition of priti or love from Priti Sandarbha, that priti or love means that you have a deep desire to please your beloved. You want to attain your beloved so that you can please them. And that's mixed with the great happiness you feel for doing so. So it's that priti or love. So they're around these gopis who are selling, and they hear, and they hear, and they hear. And they became enchanted and by those descriptions of Krishna. And by becoming enchanted by those descriptions of Krishna, they became eager to see Krishna. They'd be eager to please Krishna. They developed priti. So this was Prabhupada's goal. He gave us Krishna book. He gave us the Bhagavatam. He gave us the CC. And there's descriptions of Krishna. Here's the topmost description of Krishna. There's actually in the Bhagavatam three texts that describe Krishna at higher and higher levels of realization. One is by Lord Brahma. Higher than that, if that has a little bit of a distance to it, higher than that is the wives of the Brahmins, and higher than that is the gopis. This is the gopis' description of Krishna. Vaharpidam natavarabhapu karniyo karnikaram vibhradvasa kanika kapisham vajyantim chamalam Randram Venur Adarasudaya Puriyan Gopa Vindai Vindaranyam Sukadaramanam Prabhishad Gita. He's wearing a peacock feather. So imagine Krishna with a peacock feather upon his head, and he has these blue karnika flowers. They grow right here in our garden in his ears, and he has a yellow garment as brilliant as gold, and a Vaijayanti garland hanging down to his knees with five colors, and Krishna is smiling from ear to ear, and he's exhibiting a form of the greatest dancer as he's entering Vrindavan. He fills the flute, the nectar of his lips. The cowherd boys are singing his glories. In fact, on Sunday, we had this wonderful description of Krishna blowing his flute, entering the forest of Vrindavan and all the elements of Vrindavan moving to serve Krishna. We gave the description. The word is Ayena Jastam. Even the wind is serving Krishna by blowing over the clear lakes. And out of love for Krishna, the wind, even the wind, is has intention to please Krishna. It's all moving towards Krishna with this great prema, and the wind comes over the lakes. And when the wind comes over the lakes, it gets the fresh droplets of clear water and the fragrance of the lotus flowers. And then it blows on Krishna's body, giving him the most wonderful sense of fragrance, but a fragrance that's not just an ordinary fragrance, but a fragrance that was meant to please him. Just like if you went to the house of your best friend or a parent or someone who dearly loved you and you were their visitor, and then they loved you so much and you went into the room and they kept a big magnolia in the center of the room. And then all day you would be smelling that magnolia. So the fragrance would please you, but it would also nourish your heart because you realize that fragrance was a product of someone else's love for you. So all the sensual stimulations in Vrindavan are just reminding, are just representing the love of Krishna. And therefore the devotees can enjoy them. Because when the same wind blows across the faces of the devotees and they smell that flower, they're thinking how nice this fragrance is that made Krishna happy. It's just like if you cook for someone with love, and because you have that love, you will make that so colorful and tasty and fragrant. And then they enjoy it, and you enjoy it. But you're not. It's not just a sensual experience. They're enjoying how much you love them. And when you eat it, you're enjoying how much they were pleased. So this is Vrindavan. It's such a wonderful place. And I'm going all over, but this description was in my mind. And Krishna enters that forest, and all the animals of Braj come along the pathway of Vrindavan as Krishna is coming with his cows. And Krishna, he's blowing his flute, and the cowherd boys are doing kirtan. And the soft dust of Vrindavan, Krishna's behind the cows, putting his feet out of love on the ground of Vrindavan just to soothe the ground of Vrindavan from the stampede of the beautiful cows. I'm speaking around because I really wanted to get to this verse today. With this verse, on Sunday I'll give a further description of coming into Vrindavan. But this verse, the verse we read today, and I'll finish up with that because I've kept everybody late. All these ingredients and the sacrifice are aspects of Krishna's opulence. And the Brahmins failed to recognize that they're meant for Krishna. So just look at what happened. They knew mantra, they knew tantra, they knew where all the ingredients go, they knew how to chant the mantras, they knew, you know, probably so many ways to set up that yajna and how to do it and what the rituals and what the timing is. But because they didn't know it was for Krishna, Shrama Evahi Kevalam, they had this knowledge, but they didn't have the wisdom of how to use it. So actually they're fools, because Martyamana, they were on the bodily platform. And the Brahmins' wives, they probably didn't know the mantras, they didn't know how to set up the yajna, but they knew one thing, that all opulences are meant for Krishna. And this is going to be contrasted. This is going to be contrasted in this thing. I'll end with one more thing. So when I went to Ter Kadamba, there is a nice sadhu there, a Gaudiya Vaishnava in Bhakti Siddhanta's line, named Rishikesh Maharaj or Ter Kadamba Maharaj. And I like him because he's very nice and he's very together. So as soon as we came, this is the most beautiful place in Brudge. It's in the middle of a forest. It's a huge kunj that you're sitting in with a kund. It's very secluded and has the mood of Rupa Goswami, as a place where Krishna had the Rasa Stali with beautiful Kadamba tree. And we're sitting there, none of these devotees, because there are three of them are bhaktis and Gadadhar Pandit, none of them have been there. So we're all stunned to be sitting in this place. And the sadhu is so nice. He worships Krishna Balaram. So he's so nice that immediately he puts out blankets so we could sit on the floor. Just sit. This is actually, well, the verse we spoke about in Vrindavan, the peacocks come and show their beautiful form, the cuckoos sing. It says that everyone offers their excellences to Krishna. And the symptom of a great soul is that he receives other great souls properly. That's the symptom of a great soul. And how do you serve him properly? You give them what you have best. So this is a very nice sadhu. As soon as we came, he's simple. Whatever he had best, he wanted to offer to us, because we were Vaishnavas honoring Rupa Goswami. And immediately, and he does this every time, he gave us little cups of sweet rice, kheer. And why did he give us kheer? Because in that place, Sanatana Goswami visited Rupa Goswami. And Rupa Goswami considered Sanatana Goswami his guru. And Rupa Goswami was lamenting, what can I give Sanatana Goswami? I want to please him. I just have some flour and some achar. I don't have anything more. I do madhukard, but my guru has come. I want to please him. At that moment, a beautiful young girl came from the village and said, here, I heard there was some sadhus here. Here's some milk. Here's some sugar. He said, we don't even keep pots. We just do madhukari. That's the sadhus. They don't have kitchens. Where are they going to have kitchens? They don't have time to cook. So she said, anyway, I brought all the paraphernalia and cooked it. So she gave some sweet rice to Rupa Goswami. And Rupa Goswami, in fact, I was just in this place about 3 weeks ago with Mother Jagatarini, Bhurijan, Sachinanda, and about 100 devotees. And Mother Jagatarini put on a puppet. She brought a puppet stage and put on a drama with puppets. Of this drama right there, you should see this sadhu's eyes light up. Same drama. So when they came to Rupa Goswami to give the sweet rice to Sanatana Goswami, when Sanatana Goswami tasted this sweet rice, he fainted. And he got up. He said, where did you get this? He said, a little girl. He said, you have taken service of Srimati Radharani. Because you can, when someone cooks with praying, you can taste the love. And when Radharani cooks, if she's in charge of the kitchen, a devotee of that caliber could know. There was a wonderful devotee in Vrindavan named Vibhu Chaitanya, one of the great disciples of Prabhupada. Now he can't come out of his room because he's crippled. But he was the cook. And I can tell many stories about him, but Vrindavan was austere in that day. But when he would come to your room, sometimes you never knew when, with some prasadam, he was very austere in that day. No matter what was happening, you felt you had the mercy of Radharani. When you would taste what he would cook all the offerings. He would wake up at 2 in the morning till 10 at night and cook all full offerings, so many sweets, samosas, everything for the deities himself. So, tasted that sweet rice, and we just thought, like, ourselves, that this must be it. But anyway, I'll finish with this. So this sadhu, he obviously was aspiring for Sakyaras, cowherd boy. So he told the pastime there. He doesn't even know English, practically. And the pastime there, one of the pastimes, is Krishna would climb on the Kadamba tree, and with his flute, he would call the different cows. So this sadhu knew so many names of the cows, and he said he would describe when the cows would blow the flute, when the Krishna would blow the flute, and a cow would hear through the flute his name, the cow would come forward. It was like taking attendance. And he had this thing. It was a Bridger Bosch word or something for I am present called humbo. Humbo. So he'd be Forrest there. He was just sitting with us, telling us the pastime. And Krishna would be calling the white cows. And he would go, Shukla. And then he would go, humbo, humbo. The cows would say present. Then the red cows, Aruni, humbo, humbo. He would say, and then the yellow cows, Pingala, humbo. And then red, black, Kala, Shama, humbo. So I had to crank up the energy level to get beyond the static. So we'll continue next week. So we'll end here. Maybe I'll just stay because I went a little bit longer, just a minute or two more. And then I'll have to go. I just mentioned one other thing that some of you would be very happy to hear. I'm here in Govardhan, not just to take those devotees around, because and not far from Govardhan is Nandagram, and today is the wedding of Daivi Shakti's daughter, Gauji Krishna, a wonderful Brijbasi girl. She was born to one devotee from the, that you may know in America, like Kunta Goloka Vrindavan. So I know her since she was born, and I also know him, so I'm going to the wedding. They're renting buses, and the wedding is in Vrindavan. So I'm just so anxious, not just because of the wedding, because I get to go to Vrindavan, and so those of you know, and give your blessings also, and I'll just communicate it by spirit here. So I'll end, and then I'll stay online for a few minutes. Vanshakalpa turubhyascha kripa sindhu bhaiva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namo.